Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We back. We back. We back. We on some new technology. What up, Kick? What up, YouTube?
What it do? What it do?
What up, everybody in the most sports world? We back once again. It is July 10th. And we talking some NBA Summer League drama. Some Victor Wembanyama drama.
Wemby drama, Damian Lillard drama. Woo! As if it hasn't been exhausting enough the past however many years.
We have a bunch of rumors, a bunch of drama. We got Bud Earl. We got a lot of shit we going to talk about.
Spence.
Yeah. We talking a lot. I'm with the gang, Matt G.
You know.
I'm with Big Ed. You already know what time it is. And it's been a week since we've been on. Shout out to America. Like I said before, we took off for the 4th. But we here, we live. Yo, Kick. If you fucking with us, make sure you follow us.
Drop a
YouTube.
Follow.
If you fucking with us, follow us. If you fucking with the new layout,
let us know.
Let us know, man. Hey, man. If you fucking with the new layout, let us know, man. We here and we're rocking, son. Let's get it.
Let's get it. All right, let's kick things off because today we obviously got the announcement after 2 games that Victor Wembanyama is no longer going to be playing in the NBA Summer League. Now, first off, do we think that that's a good choice? Because I think clear cut, I don't even really know. Like, I would have understood if they just didn't play him in the Summer League at all. Am I the only one? Like, I wouldn't have been shocked if they came out off rip and were like, he's not playing Summer League.
I thought in general that was what was going to happen. I thought Victor wasn't playing any Summer League games. So when I heard that he was playing, I was like, I was confused in general.
I was confused but excited at the same time.
I was definitely excited. But you know what? He came out and he didn't have a good offensive performance the very first game. He what, went 2-for-13?
Yeah, he was forcing it noticeably, but you know, it happens. I mean, you gotta let the game come to you. If anybody thought that Victor Wembanyama was gonna come out and just put up 30 points in his first game with, you know, 12 blocks or 12 rebounds and 4 blocks, that's just not a realistic first game. You know, maybe game 2, but game 1, you can't go that route. So we knew, he said it, the game was a little fast for him. He had to adjust, but guy like that, I'm not
he
really
said he really ain't
about.
Know what he was doing. And you know what, that's what Summer League is for, is for learning the NBA game. Even though you're not playing against real NBA players, the pace of the game is similar.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, the speed of the game is similar in Summer League. But you know, he still had 5 blocks in that first game. He still had like 9 rebounds.
He got his game off in other departments,
right?
Rather
exactly.
than scoring, it just, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, a guy like that, yeah, he's got a fantastic offensive bag and he's very capable. But I feel like at the same time, we see him dish a lot. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if down the line the Spurs are winning and he isn't scoring like that. You know, the same way we see Jokic, he's not most dangerous when he's scoring 50 points. He's most dangerous when he's getting 20 because you know he's putting up 15 and 12 on the other, you know, side of the ball. So I don't know. I think Wemby's just, he's going to take his time. Ed, I know you're going
to
hate, so go for it.
Say. I'm not debating you guys with the Wemby thing, so I'm just going to wait until his NBA debut.
You don't think, like, first game, you were feeling it, though. Like, let's not act like it wasn't, you know. You were accepting flowers for Wembanyama being a bust after game 1.
Did I say he was a bust? I say he's not ready for the NBA. That's what I said.
I mean, I just don't
this
know.
Motherfucker said bust. I don't want to hear it.
Bro,
motherfucker said bust.
Right now. You want to debate? I'm not debating this. Until he gets to the NBA, has an actual NBA game. He plays actual NBA players.
I don't know.
Then I'll say something.
This is NBA competition. Like,
no,
we can't
not,
sit
man.
And act, bro. Like, it's
no,
good
not.
Comp. It's good comp still. Like, Summer League is good
so
comp.
So, y'all don't see the problem in the first game when he was just getting thrown around?
No, his size is definitely an issue, but
well,
so
saying,
is it with
right?
It's a problem with a lot of of these young guys. I mean, I said it about Amone Bates right. as well. And guess what? He struggled.
All right.
So, he needs a year or two, well, Double R says. I mean, I'd probably say year 3 Wemby will be a beast. He was looking like Bambi out there falling over himself.
Well, we're talking about game 1, but we're last night game 2, he came back out and got 27, 12 and 3 blocks. Mm-hmm. So like,
that's why I said let's wait until he plays in the actual NBA game.
And you know what, Ed, I 100% agree with that. That's what I was saying after game 1. I said good thing I don't care about what people do in Summer League. You know what I'm saying? But You're right. We shouldn't be judging players on Summer League. We made the same mistake with Kevin Knox, right? Kevin Knox comes out game one of Summer League, puts up, what, 35 fucking points?
I mean, even Quentin Grimes was running the MVP of last Summer League, and then he had a lackluster year for 9 months out of it, so.
It doesn't matter how good of a player or bad of a player even is during Summer League. We got to see what you're going to do.
That first game just concerns me with his weight. That's it.
The thing about Wemby, and I saw somebody say it on Twitter, is that it's very concerning. It's almost like he doesn't understand his center of gravity being that big. He takes a lot of like fadeaways, puts himself off balance a lot, and not only do I think that that could take a toll on his body physically, but I think he's also going to be putting himself in bad spots to, you know, like, one, hurt himself, two, you're shooting bad shots, three, you're going to force yourself into more turnovers, and somebody that is that lengthy obviously isn't the swiftest getting to the ball, so I don't know, he's going
to... It comes out that's all I was really seeing. I didn't really care that he shot 2 for 13. It was more of him just getting bodied. Like, I was just like, you can't be getting bodied because them centers are going to throw all his weight on him. You know what I'm saying?
And Blizzy says he's off balance in the post. That was the most concerning part. Like, in the post, backing somebody down, I mean, you're supposed to be the one
but I actually
dominating.
Well,
like, I don't know.
I would say that game one, yes, he was like a little, like...
He was letting, almost like letting the waves take him, right? Like when you're in the ocean,
in game one.
You're in the ocean, you're riding with the tide. Like that's almost what he was going with. He wasn't getting his game off. He was just going with the pace.
But game two, he wasn't really in the post though.
No, I would say the opposite. I would say in the end of game two, he was like, he figured out his post game at the end of game two. Mm-hmm. Like they came back, they were down 10 points with like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Or down like 15 points actually with 4 minutes left. He got in the game and he straight up took over the game.
Yeah.
He took over the game. He even got a three with a minute left to put them under down 1 point. But before that, he was in the paint with it. He was yamming on boys, put back dunks. He was dunking on heads, bro. I'm telling you, bro. I was
7-5.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, but he wasn't out bullying them in the post. He just has to get bigger. That's all I'm saying. That's all I've ever been saying about women. He just has to get bigger. He cannot chat. He has to get like.
No, he has to get stronger. And that's what Wemby said. He's like, yo, I don't necessarily need to get bigger. I need to get stronger for the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's not really because he's not that, like, even he's 7'5, yes. But he's not skinny for a 7'5 guy.
No, he has muscle.
You know what I'm saying?
He
has actual muscle on him.
No, he does.
No, for real.
He has muscle mass.
Tell me a 7'5 guy that has more weight than him. Because there is barely any 7'5 guys in the world.
I mean, even
so,
for a guy that is 7'5, Wembanyama's muscle mass is impressive. In comparison to guys,
muscle mass doesn't mean you're strong, though, Matt. You can just look like you can look like you're strong.
Exactly.
Yes,
so that's why he needs.
He has the foundation. Now he just has to build on it, right? Like he's definitely not in his physical prime.
Lift weights.
He has to hit the gym. Yeah. He
does.
That's
all I've been saying. And he has to get the fucking weight.
One thing that I think is getting overlooked a lot, too, is like, yeah, he could have looked lost out there game one, but are we forgetting he doesn't even have Coach Pop? And, like, one of the best coaches in NBA history is going to be the one guiding him through year one. So why are we overreacting when he has an assistant coach, you know, drawing the plays up right now?
Also, another factor in the Summer League is that his teammates are dog shit.
Yeah.
It's the summer league of the worst team of the fucking league.
This is why I'm gonna start getting mad. Y'all claiming he's the next LeBron, right? Should he just be taking over?
He did.
I can't go out and say that Wemby was
27-12. Yeah, y'all didn't watch the end of the game.
Yes,
I know y'all didn't watch.
You didn't watch the game.
No, you didn't.
Malachi Braun has been getting his game off for the Spurs as well. He didn't have a great game, too, but game one, he put up, I believe, 26 or so points. I think even more, actually. And that was pretty impressive.
At the end of the day, Summer League.
It's Summer League.
We're going to see this NBA debut, what he does against actual top talent in the NBA.
We definitely will. And we're going to see probably by All-Star break how that wear and tear is going to last.
It's
being
gonna be 1 or 2 years.
So is there like any like players that has impressed you so far in these first two Summer League games?
Why the fuck is Keegan Murray in the fucking Summer League?
Wait, he's only in year two, though.
He is. He is in year two.
He started 78 games last year.
Exactly.
Bro's solid. I can't disrespect him, but
if you start, yeah, if you start the majority of your team's games as a rookie, you shouldn't be playing in summer league the next year. And that's why he's running it up, getting 40 and 12, because he understands the NBA game.
I did call it, though. I did. But like you're saying, he's already been call playing up. On it. I said,
I mean, it's not hard to call.
Year two, Keegan Murray. They said on Twitter, who are you most excited for on the Kings summer league team? And I said, Keegan Murray, easily.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
we already knew he was like slash.
No, he was. He was like, he's 4 threes a game. Nice.
I would say Jabari Smith.
Jamari Smith has
he's like that
has started pretty well in the summer
definitely.
League.
I'd say the opposite end of things. What we expected from Brandon Miller, you know, like everybody knew Brandon Miller wasn't great.
He doesn't know defensive basketball at all.
He stinks, bro. Yeah, he's really
15 fouls. Within 2 games?
Within 2 games, yeah.
I didn't even know they got 10 fucking fouls.
And he shot 2 for 13. Like, that's supposed to be the one thing you're actually solid at. Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. This school got hurt. But school was playing very well.
He was
he
like
hurt.
5 for 5,
yeah,
right?
He was hooping.
We knew that, though.
I just think, like, I just think they're just going, all right, you're done.
Same thing with Amen Thompson, too. Yeah. Same thing with him.
That dude, who's that dude from the Warriors? He's impressed me. Lester or something?
I don't know.
He's like a guard. He's been.
Oh, Andy talked about him.
Yeah,
Andy, drop a comment if you're still listening of who that is. But nah, there's been a couple like solid guys in the summer league. The thing about summer league is that like you'll have a solid 3 minutes and then you're instantly getting pulled. Just that's the way it is. Like they're not gonna ride the hot hand in summer league. It's just everybody's got to get their burn. So sometimes it's hard to make out a guy getting their game off unless they have like a crazy run within that stretch.
I agree. Damn, who's gonna win the summer league? So obviously they'd shut down Victor Wembanyama for the rest of the summer league, which I'm surprised they didn't do it after game one, honestly. But you know, he had to get his lick back and get low. You know what I'm saying? He was unimpressive game one. He had to show him what you know that he's capable of getting these buckets. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, all right, it's time to shut them down. And honestly, they were probably the NBA probably forced the Spurs to have Victor play the first 2 games because you notice how they shut them down after the Blazers game, right?
Oh yeah,
that was supposed to be like the marquee matchup scoop
of the
first
summer league.
Yeah,
with the whole like that was the big debut of the bubble, the MSG bubble 2.0 too.
Yeah,
within
that same few days,
they were trying to ride all the momentum of all of that for sure. So that kind of got spoiled, and I know Adam Silver's probably a little bit sick about it.
Yeah.
But.
So once both Scoot and Victor was shut down.
It was GG's.
That was.
I turned off.
I will not be watching the rest of summer league. Probably.
I will not be in attendance.
I will not be watching.
What I will be in attendance for is the hopefully the downfall of Damian Lillard, because he is accepting nowhere but Miami right now, and he's telling his agent is out here telling teams if you trade for Damian Lillard, he will not be playing and will not be reporting to camp come training time. So, I mean, that's just disgusting. Is that disgusting to anyone else? Like,
I don't really care.
It's all love and art is war. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, just like, yo, you went on this whole thing about how you were loyal. You stayed loyal for so many years. And now it's like, I'm only going to go to the team that was just in the NBA Finals.
Miami doesn't have anything anyway, so he just has to get over it, in my opinion.
Does he ultimately end up there, do you think? Like, no. Is that it? You don't think he stays?
The Blazers don't give off. That means a business at the end of the day. They need to get something back for Dame. Fucking Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and a couple picks is not going to get.
That's ass.
It's not going to get Dame Lillard.
Well, here's the thing. The only way Miami's going to be able to get Dame to Miami is if there's a third team involved. That's the only way. Miami has no trade leverage to get a straight up swap of Duncan, Harrow, and 2 first-rounders.
They're trying to.
That's not
shit
happening,
on a plate,
bro. That's not fucking happening, Pat Riley. All right. So you're gonna have to get the Nets involved. You're gonna have to get somebody else involved that's willing to take Tyler Harrow, because at the end of the day, the Blazers don't want 2 young guards. They already have that.
Nah, yeah.
They already have that in Scoots. and Anthony Simons.
And they said they don't
so
even...
So why would they need Hero for?
They don't even value Tyler Hero in a trade for Dame. They said if they were to get him. Dame, they were trying to move... Or if they were to get Tyler, they're trying to move him off to a third team instantly. Like, that's... They don't want any part of a Scoot and Tyler Hero backcourt with Anthony Simons. That's disgusting.
Yeah, so I... Damian Lillard pisses me off because, like, he finally requests a trade, but he requests a trade to the hardest team to get to. A team that already was just in the NBA Finals, a team that can only offer guards to the Blazers.
It's hard, it's hard to root for Dame right now. Is it not, as a fan?
If he goes to Miami, I'm clearly not rooting for him.
No, but I mean just him as like a player right now. I loved Dame. When he was going crazy.
You're asking the wrong dude. I think he's overrated. I've been saying this for years. Corey's heard me say this over and over for years. He's whatever. He hasn't won anything. He came up with Dame time, I guess, and tapped his wrist. I guess that's the cool thing that he did for the league.
Nah, legit. But I mean, seriously, though. He hit that step back over PG.
I guess.
That was legit it, though. Like, that's all he has. And, like, he was likable. Yeah, he was likable. Cool. He grew his beard a little bit. You know, you remember that meme? Like, he won a three-point contest. So, I think good for him in that sense. But, no, I totally, like, I don't know. I loved Dame as a player. And I thought he could contribute maybe to a winning team. But just hearing, like, the type of shit he's on, like, he was interested in the Warriors, too, before the Chris Paul deal. Like,
he even said he was interested in the Nets, like, in a couple interviews, like, a couple months ago. And now it's like, no, only fucking Miami.
Yeah.
But the GM of the Blazers was like, look, if this shit takes months, so fucking be it.
Yeah. They're in no rush.
They're not in a rush. I wouldn't even play Damian Lillard if...
If he stays?
If he stays until they trade him type shit. That's the shit I'm on. I'm not about to take reps away from Scoot for this motherfucker. Yeah. No.
For the guy who doesn't want to be here.
No, absolutely the fuck not. So, I mean, I don't know. Something's got to give. Something's got to give, and they're playing a war. They're playing, and it's at a stale match right now between the Blazers and Damian Lillard. Somebody's going to have to compromise somewhere.
Modern day Melo as a player. To me.
Dame?
Yeah.
That's kind of disrespectful to... Oh. How? It's kind of disrespectful to Carmelo Anthony.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm taking all-time Melo.
The money.
Yeah, but no as well. Because the Knicks could have just waited until free agency.
Something's got to change with the CBA to where these players are purposely taking their max contracts with their teams, knowing they're not going to stay with that team.
And forcing
their way out with the max contract. Mm-hmm. Because they know if they walk from free agency, they're not going to be able to get that super max.
Yeah.
Like...
the same their original team can give
them. For example, Jaylen Brown, right? Jaylen Brown... We know damn well Jaylen Brown don't want to stay with the Celtics. But he signs the Supermax this year because if he were to walk at the end of this year and go to a Knick or anywhere else, he's going to lose $40 million because of it. Something has to change with that. Something has to fucking change because I'm sick of Donovan Mitchell.
Bradley Beal.
Devin Booker. All these guys that don't want to fucking stay with their teams, signing these Supermax contracts, making it damn near impossible
to move them.
You know?
And then they want to sit here and complain when they're not getting to the city that they handpick. I mean, you have Harden, Kyrie, and KD with, 8 trade requests in the past 3 years?
It's ridiculous.
That's gross.
Something has to give. It's annoying. Like, I like the movement. It's fun for a couple weeks in the offseason. It makes it interesting, but, like, that shit is corny, bro.
Yeah, it's not it.
And you notice it's only with the old stars. Like, it's the older stars. Like, the stars...
That are in the second half of their career.
Yeah. It's not the young guys that are doing it.
Yeah, until Giannis comes to the Knicks.
No, brother. We'll see. But, yeah, something's got to give with that for sure.
So what do we think now, free agency-wise? Mm. Fred VanVleet today inked a deal with the Rockets. That's a 3-year, $148 million deal.
Fleecing.
God damn.
She's not worth that.
Oh, well, definitely not.
Is that going to be a ski mask Hall of Fame by the end of that contract?
I think so. It's a team option in year three, though, so I doubt they pick him up in year three.
Game 40, done for the season.
I don't think he's a guy that's going to get injured like that. It's just like, yo, you signed a guy that has never had a true shooting percentage above 30%.
Okay, man. It's...
And you have...
Piss poor franchises. Yeah,
and you have Amen Thompson. You have, obviously, Jalen Green,
KPJ.
How
many guards do they have?
They have, like, six, bro. They got rid of Josh Christopher after the whole Jalen Green incident. Brooks is a small forward. But he's another guy that likes to play point forward, even though he sucks. Like, and what do we think about Dylan Brooks saying that the opposing teams think about him before the games? Like, what?
He's just trolling now.
He's ridiculous. He's insane.
I guess it's a good pickup for them defense-wise, but other than that.
Double R says they had to pay somebody with all those rookies. Yeah, I just don't know if Freddie Van Vliet, the guy that's a zero-time All-Star, averaging 19 points per game, giving him $50 million, I don't know if that's the move.
That ring holds value, though.
Well, here's the thing, man. This offseason, we've seen a lot of, like, wild contracts go to players. Like, we're seeing this every year, right? Where these okay players are getting $100 million plus contracts. I mean, the new CBA is about to come out, and the new cap space is going to come out next year, and these contracts are going to look like nothing.
Yeah, and then
you know what I'm saying?
We're still going to be just incredibly grateful Knicks fans for having Jalen Brunson at $26 million. That's going to be the day when everybody's handing out, you know, $35, $40 million to mid players. And we're just sitting here with a descending contract of Brunson and Randall. That'll be special. That will be very special.
That'll be nice. But what was the most, like, besides Van Vliet, what were the other contracts?
I loved, me and Andy said it, a very, very good addition for Phoenix. Was them getting Yuta Watanabe as a bench piece because they really need some depth. And honestly, he's nice. I'm a big fan of Yuta Watanabe. I really like watching his game. He reminds me, like, and it's in his play style of, like, when Jeremy Lin was with the Knicks and he has that same type of jump shot. He gets up high off the ground. He has that high release. Like, it's sweet. It's sweet.
Today, last night, actually, the Sixers matched the...
B-ball
the offer sheet on Paul Reed, 3 years, $23 million.
Mm-hmm. I mean, another deal if we want to talk about it, Tyrese Haliburton getting 5 years, $260 million supermax with the Pacers. I mean, first off, I have to address this. If you are an NBA fan out there, and I'm looking dead into the camera as I say this, and you legitimately think Tyrese Haliburton is a better basketball player than Jalen Brunson, you need to go look yourself in the mirror and honk your nose a few times. That is horrible, bro. That is horrible. Tyrese Haliburton is giving you empty double-doubles. That's it.
Empty double-doubles.
That's it, bro. He stinks. He legitimately is not good, bro. He's all right. But Jalen Brunson clears him in every aspect of the game. Every single one.
Brunson is better? Yes.
He's a better scorer. That's what you can
say. He's a better scorer.
He's not a better passer than him.
Bro, the only thing Haliburton has is his facilitation. That's it, bro.
That's what a point guard does, isn't he?
He's not a point guard. He's a combo guard. And he averages turnovers a game as well.
He's a point guard.
Okay, and he's a shot chucker, too. He has no efficiency.
Who else is he trying to give the ball to, buddy? Fucking hell.
Bro. So we're just making excuses now for him? So that's just okay for him to just, like, I don't know, bro. If you want to go rot in Indiana, that's cool, but I'm not going to sit here.
Yeah,
and
21
and 10 last year. Let's talk about Indiana real quick, because they're trying to make a little bit of move here. They picked up Obi Toppin for a bag of chips from the Knicks. What other moves did they make? They made a couple. Who did they draft? They got... They didn't get Koulibaly. They got somebody else.
No, I couldn't tell you who the Pacers are drafting, but I don't know, man. I'm just not. I think social media has hyped up Tyrese Haliburton to a degree that is just getting disgusting. It's really insane to me that people think that guy is better than somebody who is a solidified playoff.
He's not better than Jalen Brunson, but he's not. I wouldn't say overrated either. I think he's actually a really good young point guard.
Solid. Period. That's it.
I think he's a great point guard, but, like, he's not Jalen Brunson.
Not Jalen Brunson.
He's not. He's simply not.
The guy,
but
all Jalen Brunson does is score better than him.
Jalen Brunson just busted Donovan Mitchell's ass in the playoffs two years in a row, bro.
That's the only thing you've been talking about him when it comes
to that. And so what has Tyrese Halliburton done in the league?
That's your favorite shit to say. Ed, is what has he done?
What has Tyrese Halliburton
done? Tyrese hasn't done shit.
Just a bunch of empty fucking double-doubles, like I
played
said.
Played on dog shit teams.
Because his team doesn't do anything. He doesn't win the games in which... when he was with Sacramento, bro, notice how they got rid of him, and everybody thought it was a bad move, and here they are, even better, bro. Here they are, even better.
Who was on Sacramento?
Domantas Sabonis was not on Sacramento at the time, but you have Harrison Barnes, you have Rashawn Holmes.
Harrison Barnes!
And De'Aaron Fox with Malik Monk. That is an... hey, you were able to plug Sabonis in there, and all of a sudden, they're a playoff three seed. You could plug in Sabonis and they're a three seed, but Tyrese Halliburton, the almighty, those big double doubles, you put him there and he sucks. He sucks.
What a shitty team.
20 and 10? No, he's giving you like 17, maybe 9 and like 8.
Look, I don't know. The Kings are looking pretty good in that trade. I thought the Kings were fucking idiots for trading Halliburton and sticking with.
And sticking with Fox.
No, sticking with Davion Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, that too. I didn't even think about that.
They chose Davion Mitchell.
Over Halliburton.
Over Halliburton.
And it looks like the move.
And the Kings looked a lot fucking better without him. But, like, that was the Kings' poverty-ass fault for drafting a point guard 3 years in a row. Well, not 3 years in a row, but already having De'Aaron Fox and then drafting Halliburton and then the next year drafting Davion Mitchell.
Yeah.
That was their poverty fault. I do think if they would have kept Halliburton and shipped Davion, they still would have been pretty fucking good. But I don't know. I don't know. I feel like Tyrese Halliburton was taking a lot of volume away from De'Aaron Fox.
I agree.
And that's why they had to choose up between Fox and Halliburton.
Yep. Yeah, because Halliburton, yeah, he's taking your volume, right? And then guess what? It's resulting in not wins. So, you know, you switch hands of who you're giving the volume to, and all of a sudden you're winning basketball games.
You know, I've always talked about how much volume you get on certain NBA teams determine
your success.
How good and how glazed you are in the media. For example, Mikal Bridges. He has had a 22-game sample size with the Nets with all the volume in the fucking world. Nobody else on the Nets is good enough to even put up 20 points a game. What, Seth Curry is the second best scoring option on that team?
And now all of a sudden,
now Nets fans are saying he's the best basketball player in New York.
Yeah.
Please shut the fuck up, okay? People are saying I'm taking Mikal Bridges over Jalen Brunson. Please shut the fuck up. Please shut the fuck up. Oh, what kind of sample sizes does Jalen Brunson have? Ooh, motherfucker.
Two playoffs
and a whole year of fucking rocking, fucking rolling. When Mikal Bridges was on the motherfucking Suns and he was the fourth scoring option.
He was a 3-and-D player.
He was a role player. Now, you take that player.
Wasn't Brunson a role player on the...
Yeah.
Yeah, and guess what? Luka's out. And he steps up and puts up 42 points in the playoffs on Donovan Mitchell's head once again. You know,
keep saying this Donovan Mitchell.
Because Donovan Mitchell's touted as this crazy good top 15 player in the NBA. And here we are. Like, is that your king when Jalen Brunson is putting up consistent 40 pieces on his dome? Jalen Brunson is legitimately better.
What?
At the game of basketball.
How? What sense?
In what sense? His scoring is better. His defense is better. His efficiency is better. He just won now two playoff series against him. I mean, is there any case for Donovan Mitchell being better than Jalen Brunson at all?
Yo, you're a fanatic.
What is it?
You're a fanatic.
What's the case for him?
You're a fanatic. He's a better scorer than Jalen Brunson.
Because he just...
Yes! Okay. What are you talking about? Yes!
Then pull up their matchup.
Like, what are you talking about?
Bro, head-to-head. He isn't, though. Head-to-head, he statistically isn't. Right. So if you're scoring less than somebody against them...
So since we're doing statistics, then Tyrese Halliburton is a better point guard than fucking Jalen Brunson.
We're talking.
He double,
we're talking
double,
wins.
Double.
Wins matter too. These have to translate
wins.
To your
we're
team
about two
winning
fucking
game.
Players, Matt. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson is clearly better than Donovan Mitchell and Tyrese Haliburton and Mikal Bridges. We could go that route too. Like the disrespect is crazy. You want to put a guy with a 22 game sample size? You want to put a guy that hasn't won anything and a guy that lost two playoff series to him over Jalen Brunson? There's no case for any of those
Donovan
guys.
Mitchell's been winning since he's been in the league. So what are we talking?
He's
about?
Been winning.
Yes. He hasn't?
He's 0-2 against Brunson in the playoffs.
He's not much of a playoff.
Oh, my
goodness. He's had one good playoff run in the bubble, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah.
That was about it.
One series. That was it. Their first series. And then they lose. That was it.
They haven't had much success in Utah with him.
But we'll spin off of it. I want to just give a quick shout out to Asbury Park's very own Naz Reid. $42 million over 3 years with the T-Wolves. That's fire. That's fire. And he got a shout out on Jeopardy. I'm sure you guys saw that. That was pretty cool as well.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I saw that.
That was really sweet.
Shout
and that's
out to my guy.
One thing, though. I mean, like, I love that he got that bag. But you're now paying $138 million just next year to your centers. Centers, power forwards. You know, Kat, Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid.
They anticipate.
Just get the max.
They're going to trade Kat. Kat's out of there. I don't know where he's going, but he's out of there. Here's another head scratcher for me for free agency. Atlanta Hawks sign a 4-year, $120 million contract to Dejounte Murray. I just don't understand after seeing what happened with Atlanta this year after adding Dejounte Murray.
That was their first year together.
But now, but like this
and it might
means,
be the last.
Yeah, it seems like you're clearly looking to build around him and you're okay with moving off of Trey, or you would rather move off of Trey than move off of Murray.
That's the reason why they traded Collins.
What's that reason?
Bro, they want Trey and fucking Dejounte Murray to work.
So we're just going to keep feeding them money and forcing them volume until it works?
It's,
like,
it's the first fucking year they played with each other, Matt. What are you talking about?
It wasn't good. By any means. I mean, the expectations were a lot more than, what were they, a 9 seed? Right? They looked okay against Boston in the playoffs. Like, I'll give them that. But even then, it wasn't a product of Trey and DeJounte just going at it, and, you know, the way that they thought they would.
So first year together, they're supposed to just have the chemistry off the rip? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Being two all-stars, you probably should.
By the end of the year, yes.
You should be able to figure it out.
Yes, actually, yes.
Yeah, you fire
by the
coach,
end of the year,
yes. You should be able to figure it out. How many years are we going to give them of just like...
Two.
Because if Jalen Brunson came out and stunk last year, you would have been all over him by game 15. But here we are. DeJounte Murray gets a whole year. But DeJounte could get a whole year of buffering. Everyone, when he went to the Spurs, everyone was like, oh my God, the Knicks just missed out on DeJounte Murray. No way.
Bro,
the Knicks should have gave up five picks. Never.
That wasn't the same thing.
Wasn't giving up. No.
Because
guess what? They are who we thought they were. They are who we thought they were. He sucks. He sucks. He sucks. They're a 9 seed for a reason.
DeJounte Murray sucks now?
Yeah, he's ass. There's a reason that they had a bad year.
He had a bad year. He had a bad year, so he sucks now.
He's bad.
I don't know about sucks, but he has a bad year. He's definitely had a bad year.
Knicks fanatics. That's what I'm talking to.
Kat should probably come to the Knicks. I'm okay, bro. I'm good.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Let's talk about bag fumbling. Miles Bridges signed a $7.9 million deal just for next season. Bro could have easily gotten about 25 to 30 probably if he just simply kept his hands to himself. So that's a tough break there. Another one, Russell Westbrook agrees to a 2-year, $8 million contract to stay with the Clippers. I think that's honestly a bargain for a guy that could give you a little points off the bench. You know, I think $4 million.
No, that's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
That's a good deal. I feel like that's fair. Like, a lot of the reason why I didn't like Russell Westbrook was because he was getting max money while stinking it the fuck up.
Yeah. There's no expectations now. You know, the guy's
now
getting
he's getting a fucking veteran men damn near. And now that's worth, like, his style of play and the way he plays off the bench for the Clippers. That's worth $4 million. I'll take that for $4 million a year.
Yeah.
Fucking right, I would. But
another guy that just signed a contract, Reggie Jackson agrees to 2 years, $10.25 million deal to stay with the Denver Nuggets. And on the other side of that debate that we had, John Wall is working out for several teams and contemplating retirement.
Sucks, bro. I don't care what you say.
Hey, he's locked in for two more years.
So what's going on, Ed, with Mr. Wall? Because you were the number one, his number one fan last year, this time last year.
Hey, man, didn't work out.
Didn't work out?
Okay. Hate to say it.
So is he washed now?
Yeah.
All right. What about what was the other contract that you said before Russell Westbrook? I wanted to speak on that.
Oh, who was it I just talked about? Was Miles Bridges.
Oh, Miles Bridges, right. So Miles Bridges, yeah, he's only signed a 1 year, $7 million contract with Charlotte, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Charlotte's about to turn up this year, watch.
They might be watch. Solid. I mean, they gave LaMelo.
Watch where they were last year. Watch where they, I mean, where they were. Like 2 years ago, last year they were dog shit, right?
Yeah.
But the year before that,
they were what?
7 seed? 6 seed?
Yeah, but they had that 2 or 3 years in a row where they finished 42-42.
Right.
They were always just mid.
This year,
they might be able to get past mid.
Yeah, they can make the playoffs this year. Watch. With Bridges? Mm-hmm. With Bridges.
I like Bridges. I think he's solid.
Brandon Miller edition, you know? Hey, look, he's not going to be the number one guy. It's LaMelo Ball. Like, Brandon Miller doesn't have to go fucking crazy for them to make the playoffs, is what I'm trying to say.
If I'm LaMelo Ball, I'm making Miles Bridges the number one guy. Just have me.
Well, that's what was working for them when he was his number one guy.
And he just facilitates?
Yeah.
LaMelo Ball owning a quarter of $1 billion is a crazy thought. I can't even lie.
It's a fair investment.
He's a franchise guy. No, yeah, but I mean, it's crazy in the sense that, like, I remember when this guy was, like, in middle school and Lonzo was getting his highlight tapes, like, freshman year, and they were like, oh, the youngest Ball brother, and he was literally, like, 10. And now this kid has literally a quarter of $1 billion in his bank account. That's just crazy to me.
Not good for him. Shout out to all the Balls, man.
Whoa.
Oh, brother.
Gabe Vincent, 3 years, $33 million contract with the Lakers. I mean,
That's a good pickup.
We think that he's going to live up to being an $11 million a year player.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the playoffs that he had a good. We think that he could actually produce.
He played good all year.
I've liked the Lakers off season so far. They haven't picked up any players that I'm like, I'm like, oh my god, why do they just do that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all been solid pickups.
Yeah.
So
they're kind of strapped. So.
Yeah. And I don't think the NBA is going to let them loophole again for the fifth year straight.
Nope.
So. Bro, they got a deeper bench. They picked up Prince.
They picked up Cam Reddish.
Yo. Cam Reddish is a solid pickup, bro.
We don't know
what
Cam Reddish can do because fucking let him play.
No, he did. He started, bro. He started.
He got 20 points that one game.
No, he bro, it's hard to explain because I know you don't watch the Knicks games. That he started a good half of the season, bro, over Grimes, and he was not good. Defensively, he didn't want to put in the effort. That's Cam Reddish's problem. He's talented, bro. He doesn't want to put in the effort. He gets lazy.
It's the effort.
He doesn't close out. He doesn't rotate. And when you're on a team that has Tom Thibodeau as the head coach, like, that's going to earn you more minutes than getting buckets.
And then let me talk about Obi Toppin with Tom Thibodeau as well. Yes, Obi didn't get enough minutes as he should, but I'm going to tell you why he didn't get the minutes that he was supposed to get. Because he can't play fucking defense. You cannot play fucking defense, Obi Toppin. All these Knicks fans fucking crying their fucking eyes out because he only's getting 10 minutes a game.
Or rebounds, honestly.
If you can't fucking play defense.
Wasn't that y'all, though?
Huh?
Y'all was the ones.
I'm never crying over Obi Toppin.
Crying over Obi Toppin not starting.
No, I never was.
Starting over Randall?
When they said,
okay.
No, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you exactly what I said, bro, because you love to put words in my mouth.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you. The one time Randall had to sit.
Yo, I'm so petty.
I said, Obi Toppin redemption game. And now, ever since then, I've been mad at Obi.
Legacy.
Stop, bro. Yeah.
You said Obi was the future.
Yeah, I was fucking playing around and kidding, bro.
Nah, truthfully, I think Obi's going to have a good spot in Indiana. And I
don't know. They're about to. Oh, so
Obi was a good young piece on the Knicks. But when you draft a guy behind somebody who's already all NBA. Like, he was never put in a position for success. And right. Obi Toppin, the ultimate downfall of him was that he couldn't rebound or play defense in the way that Tom Thibodeau expects a power forward to. His run-and-gun play style is awesome in the new age NBA, but it was never going to work out with Tibbs. Like, it just wasn't.
Just talking, bro.
I loved Obi.
To what y'all be saying. I'm not arguing.
I loved
that.
Obi, bro. I'm going to miss Obi. It was a bad move. Later.
Pull it up.
I'm going to put y'all on blast.
Pull it
is
up.
Is that simple?
Pull it up.
It was a bad move, ultimately. For what they got rid of him for, it was a bad move. I'm not a fan of it. I really don't like
also,
two back-end seconds.
The Pacers are about to trade for Pascal Siakam. So, if that happens, Obi's going to be stuck behind Pascal Siakam, and then he's really just fucked.
Yeah.
After that. So.
Who's after three?
Huh?
Who's after three?
Healed, I guess?
Yeah.
Comes off the bench.
Mathurin, maybe?
Mathurin. No, Obi will come off the bench, but it's like, Obi, I loved Obi.
Obi will probably start.
Obi's not starting if they get Pascal Siakam.
Not with
that shit's
Obi,
a wrap.
Miles Turner. Yeah, you can't do that. But I mean, I like Obi. He did evolve his shooting game a little bit since he's came into the league. He's definitely shot the three ball better. But that's the only aspect of
like
his game
his
that
three
grew.
Ball is fucking is not even consistent shit's either. Big. Like it's like
that's what I mean. It's tough. It's tough to like justify. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna miss him in New York, but I understand the move.
Exactly. I'm sad that it happened the way it happened, but it is what it is, you know? And the Knicks got Jacob Toppin to replace him, so.
Yeah, that is true.
That's nasty work. All right, we got your little brother, so we're going to fucking trade you for a bag of chips now.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's crazy.
All right. Anything else in free agency that happened?
A lot of role players staying. Not much, anything that's really too nuts. I guess if we want to talk Grant Williams going to Dallas, that'll be a good pickup for them. 4 years, $54 million sign and trade. A little much for Grant, but I mean, I don't hate it overall.
Sucks.
What's it called? Chris Duarte, speaking of the Pacers, went to
the Kings.
To the Kings. That could be a very good pickup for the Kings.
I wasn't huge on Duarte.
I wasn't really either. Oh, you know what is a fucking head scratcher? Matisse Thybulle. 3 years, $33 million offer sheet at that.
Yeah.
Two teams wanted him at that price. I feel like he's a very overrated player. And he's very one-dimensional. They say he's a great defensive player, yes, and he is good at defense, but he can't do shit other than that.
Ben Simmons on the other side. He
has no offense. And his defense is not as good as advertised, in my opinion.
Double R says Austin Reeves took a discount. I think there was nobody that was ever going to pay Austin Reeves anything close to $20 million. I can't lie to you. The only people that ever could have thought that was maybe the people that fall for the Lakers' mainstream media bias. But he was just getting... He was another victim of the THT Caruso hype up, you know, all that type of stuff.
So why would he get that if they got it?
Because... That people, you know, third time around, I would hope some teams are able and competent enough to realize that this guy actually isn't that great and it's just the Lakers media bias that's hyping him up. And they did. So he had to stay with LA.
So Grant Williams, this is a pickup I like for the Mavs. Grant Williams.
Yeah, 4 years.
4 years, $53 million sign and trade to the Mavs.
Going to be like a good locker room addition.
That's a good guy for the Mavs organization. They need a hard nose 4/5 that can just fucking get down and do some dirty work, you know? And they got that in Grant Williams. So I like that pickup for Dallas. Anything else?
Jeff Green gets another 1 year deal. $6 million with the Rockets. That'll be
when will he retire? Never.
He's always gonna get one. He's a journeyman.
He's trying to play until he's like 50, I think he said.
Good luck to him.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon to the Suns.
Another good depth piece.
That's a great bench guy, I guess, for Phoenix.
Definitely. He could give you some three balls off the bench, for sure. I don't care how old he is, he still can shoot the ball. No doubt.
Patty Mills.
Rockets.
To Atlanta, right?
To the Rockets.
I thought he was too, but I think he's on the Thunder.
Ugh.
Pretty sure he's to the Rockets.
Christian Wood has.
I thought
no
he
market.
Was on the Rockets too.
Huh?
Christian Wood, Double R mentioned. Yeah, he has no market because the guy wants like $16, $18 million.
Yeah, he wants all the money in the world, and he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He had his chance to be that guy in Dallas. He had a perfect opportunity to be that guy in Dallas. And when Dwight Powell steals your fucking spot,
yeah,
you're not worth even $7 million a year. If players like Maxi Kleber and fucking Dwight Powell are taking your fucking minutes.
Yeah, nah, pack it in.
Fuck out of here, bro.
Pack it in, brother.
Pack it the fuck up. But let's move on. Let's move on to
some boxing.
Some boxing. Earl Spence. First Bud Crawford, man. They had their weigh-in, I'm pretty sure. And what do you think about this fight, Ed? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think?
Spence's going to beat the shit out of him.
Spence?
Crawford's too small.
So.
straight like that. I like Bud, but Spence is just different, bro.
Yo, Spence is in Crawford's head, too, because
he's gonna break
at their weigh-in, they said something about hot sauce. In the weigh-in, like, oh, get your hot sauce or some shit, whatever, because it's about to get saucy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Earl, and they're like, they're next to each other, going like this, taking pictures.
Yeah.
And Earl's like, man, Bud don't even like hot sauce for real. And Bud was like, how the fuck do you know that?
Oh, actually,
he doesn't. No, he don't fuck with hot sauce, but. Nobody knew that except for Earl Spence.
Oh, so now he's thinking like, yo, my camp has a rat.
So then they cut back to Crawford after the weigh-in, like in the documentary. And he's like, and they're eating. And you're like, bro, how the fuck does Earl know that I don't like hot sauce? How the fuck? Like, wow. He was bugging about that shit. Like, he's like, how the fuck does he know? Like, he was saying that shit as a joke, but that's a problem if he knows that I don't fucking eat hot sauce.
Yeah.
And that's as minuscule as that, though.
It's telling.
It's very telling. It, one, that fucked with his head. Two, he knows somebody on his team is fucking ratting, bro.
Yeah.
They, because we just saw that Ryan Garcia fight with Tank.
Yep.
And somebody ratted out of Garcia's camp and said that he had a weak rib area at the time. And he hit him dead smack in that spot, and that was it.
Damn.
And then you don't see nobody at Golden Boy at his press conference after, yada, yada, yada. So, man.
Interesting.
I like Earl Spence. Just off of that alone. Just off of that alone.
I don't know. What day is that?
29th of July.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
We're getting closer. Double R asks, who is your home run derby picks? Yeah, we could pivot off.
Yeah,
to the home run derby.
Home run derby. You got Pete Alonso, Vlad, Luis Robert Jr., Adolis Garcia, J. Rod, Azarenka, Mookie Betts, and Adley Rutschman. I never even heard of him before.
Adley Rutschman, the catcher from the Orioles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Pete. I don't know. Like, I really think this is like, he lives for this. And like,
this is what
none
he does,
of these other guys, like, maybe
J Rod had a fucking hell.
J Rod had a good run.
Vlad Jr. has a great.
But Vlad, but let's not forget, he didn't hit his first home run in Toronto until 1 week ago this season.
Where is the actual home run derby at?
Seattle. J Rod, you know. It could be a J-Rod show, but I also like Luis Robert as well. He's somebody that's a little bit underrated, I think, in this sense, because he's not a full power guy, but he's a great contact, and I think if he can crank some, I don't know. I like Robert. I'm going Pete, J-Rod, Robert as my top three.
I'm going to go, probably go J-Rod. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Vlad.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Mookie.
Ooh, Mookie. Mookie might be a sleeper.
Mookie is a sleeper.
Bro, he was an MVP just 3 years
and
ago.
Arizarena is also
Randy too. Wow.
He's a sleeper, but he can fucking crank shit. So I mean,
J-Rod will be the first Mariner to win it since Griffey Jr. It might be J-Rod's night then.
Well, it was J-Rod versus Pete last year.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, it was J-Rod versus Pete last year.
And now a year of J-Rod being like in the spotlight is one of the MLB's
most marketable.
And it's
in Seattle, the script is fucking scripted.
They just pulled out the new jerseys with the trident that they got. Like,
oh, brother. Yeah. I could already see it. Oh, man.
Yep.
J-Rod probably took a nice cycle right before this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I can see that. I don't know. I'm still going to go Pete, though. Still going to rock with my boy. I'm still going to...
Just because he's the tryhard, for sure.
He's a fucking tryhard.
Yep.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up, though, man. That was Most Sports TV. I hope y'all fucking with our new setup. Yeah, man. Come see us next Tuesday. I know it's Monday and we caught y'all off guard and we haven't been on, but you know, we here every Tuesday, man. 7 o'clock, you know the fucking vibes.
Grinding out the off season, baby.
Yes, sir. We're gonna start getting
football soon. So soon.
I'm gonna give it about 2 weeks before we start talking about football. But yeah. It's coming.
It's coming, baby.
Pause.